you on the line.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, Evangelist. Well, welcome to LFC Midweek Prayer and Teaching Gathering. We gather every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, where we receive inspiration, prayers, worship, and teaching. We're coming to the close of September, and we don't have our October prayer and declaration, which we generally love to share. And I want to start with our January 2020 prophetic word for Laborers for Christ Word Life Center. I think it is a powerful word that as we look upon it, we can reflect on the year that has been. This year is almost over, and there are many things that prophetically have come forth, and it should cause us to reevaluate where our faith, our trust, our hope is, and to see that even the other prayers and declarations, they will come to pass. And so we do ask that all of our listeners will put their phones on mute, because at that point we will hear all your background, and we want to be able to clearly receive what God is giving us today. And so we want to start with the Laborers for Christ 2020 prophetic declaration from the ambassadorial prophet Michael Henderson over Word Life Center. And it reads, and as we're sharing it, I do want you to allow the Holy Spirit to open your mind and to bring to your remembrance the things that he has done. As I was reading it, I had to reflect, did we have the building there? And I realized not only didn't we have it, it was all up in the air. But this is the prophetic word that the Lord sent to Laborers for Christ Word Life Center. LFC is extremely excited about this upcoming year and the entering of a new decade. We have declared 2020 as the year of the strategic crossover, the year when you will see what the Lord has said. The word of the Lord declares, but Israel stretched out his hand and crossed his arm, laying his right hand on the head of Ephraim and the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, the firstborn. And he spoke this blessing over Joseph. This is from Genesis, the 28th chapter. I encourage you to read the complete 28th chapter and the 91st Psalm. Well, these were the scriptural support and references for our 2020 prophetic declaration. God is strategically speaking blessings over us in 2020 that will radically change your life. This is for the pandemic. We declare that you will not misfire in this season, but you will bullseye and hit your spiritual target. Your later years are about to be greater than your former years. God has placed his hand over you, and you are headed in a new direction. God is guiding you towards his divine strategic plan for your life. And 2019 was the year of the eye in Hebrew, and this year is the year of the open mouth. We ended a decade seeing, and we began a decade declaring. We will declare what the Lord has said, and we will see what he is saying. We are entering a new decade and a new era of creativity. God said, and he saw it. And God saw everything that he had said, created, and that it was very good. This will be the beginning of your new decade. You will behold great promises and walk in strategic blessings God has prepared for you and your family. We are declaring momentum, maturation, manifestation, momentum, miracles, and mantles over God's mission, his mandate, and ministry for our lives. We declare, let the mantle of innovation, inspiration, and creation be released over us in 2020. We will walk in double, be divinely focused, and may the all-powerful hand of God be over you like you have never experienced. We will pray that God use us to bring the kingdom of this world into divine alignment with the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We speak not only a happy new year, but a happy new you. So we praise God for that prophetic word that came to the saints for 2020 for Labors for Christ Word Life Center. And we encourage you to look at the preceding words that came, because they came with the power of the name of God to bring about the strategy of our Lord and Savior. And so we see that what he has said, we will see, and it will come to pass. So we praise God for the prophetic word that gives us inspiration. It inspires us and gives us revelation. It gives us comfort when we can't see its fulfillment or its manifestation. But when we wait on the Lord, he definitely renews strength, and he gives us stuff that has been in the past a mystery to us. But because we have said yes, he will reveal it, and he will give it into our hands. So at this time, we will turn the rest of our session over into the hands of the ambassadorial prophet. Prophet Michael?
Amen. Thank you, Overseer. Thank you for keeping us in remembrance of the first fruit of what God has declared over our lives. And we are excited that we are living and reaping in the harvest of that prophetic declaration. I do pray that you are allowing the mantles of God to be released over your life, and you are enjoying this maturation process, and you are embracing all the manifestation and miracles that God has prepared for you individually and collectively. It is exciting to look back and to see what God has done. Miranda Curtis sings a song that says, sometimes all you need is a memory. And, you know, so sometimes you have to praise God out of your memory, out of those places that you remember the goodness of God in spite of circumstances and situations. And so thank you. That was refreshing to hear that word, and then to continue to receive the full manifestation of that word. I think that it's even an divine apostolic and prophetic alignment with our Hebrew word that our apostle has been pouring in our hearts, the year of the 5781, that year of amazement and awakening. And so we do pray that things are and will continue to be awakened in your life. Amen. So we have been on this journey, and we've been talking about these prophetic oils that the Lord has declared and released over our lives. We have given you the opportunity to do some life work, and have provided the space for you to share what God has revealed to you, so that we can maturate together and continue to mature off of the blessings and the promises that God has spoken in our lives. On Tuesday prayer, something else our apostle prayed was just about that word that says none moved until they all were healed. And so that just brought us back into remembrance of how important the entire body is, that we really are a body. We are really are a family that God has put together. And so what you bring to the table is important. So we gave you this life work assignment, and we talked about the 5 W of the prophetic oils. And there were the what, the where, the who, the when, and the why. We talked about what does this oil mean to you? What oil have you connected to that you have seen operate or manifest in your life, or is seeing the manifestation of it in your life? And then the next question was, where in the Bible you see the meaning and description of this oil? And then who in the Bible, a biblical person, you see this oil manifesting on? When in your life, whether past, present, and future, do you see the manifestation, the use of this oil? And then 5 is, why do you believe this oil was released, declared over your life for such a time as this? You know, we serve a strategic God. Everything that he does and everything that he allows in our life comes with a divine purpose. It comes with an assignment. It comes with a plan. And God, it comes with a plan that is in alignment with the will of God for our lives. And Paul declared it the best. He said all things work together for our good. And Joseph confirmed that even tragedy works. Joseph declared, he said, what you meant for evil, God turned it around and get good out of it. And so part of that challenge was for you to have this intimate revelation so that God can download and reveal to you the who, the what, the where, the when, and the why, and how it was working for your good. So as always, we do want to give anyone the opportunity to share. If there's someone who is excited about their devotional time and want to release to us, to the community, what God revealed to them, you may do so at this time. I love it. All righty. So we will go on, amen, to the next. So we've talked about the oil of gladness. That was for praise, worship, warfare, devotional living. We've looked at the oil of vision for kingdom assignments and visionary resources. We talked about the oil of joy and the oil of praise, the oil of joy for strength, spiritual breakthrough, and endurance. And we talked about last week the oil of praise for deliverance, prison doors open in victory, and distraction and destruction of our enemies. And so today we also would like to look at two oils. We want to look at the oil of obedience for sacrificial faith, kingdom mission, mandates, and mantles. And then we want to look at the oil of hope for long-suffering, promise waiting, and prophecy fulfillment. Let's look at the oil of obedience. Let's talk about what it means to move into this place of sacrificial faith and embrace this kingdom mission and mandates and mantles that is released over our lives. So we want to look at Genesis 22, verses 1 through 9, 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 24, Joshua 1, 1 through 11, and then 2 Kings 2, 8 through 14. And that is Genesis 22, 1 through 9, 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 24, Joshua 1, 1 through 11, and then 2 Kings 2, 8 through 4. So let's examine Genesis. Let's excavate and talk about Genesis 22, 1 through 9 first. And again, I'm going to read it out of my favorite version of the Bible, which is the Voice Version, and we will look at Genesis 22, 1 through 9. So it said, after a period of time, God decided to put Abraham to the test. Abram, I am right here. Eternal One declared, Abraham. Abraham said, I am right here. Eternal One, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom I know you love deeply, and go to the land of Moriah. When you get there, I want you to offer Isaac to me as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. I will show you which one. Abraham did as he was told. Early in the morning, he got up, saddled his donkey, and taking two of his trusted servants with him and his son Isaac, he cut the wood for the burnt offering and traveled to the place God had told him about. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place far in the distance. Abraham, to his servants, said, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to meet you here. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and he set it on the shoulders of his son Isaac to carry. Abraham himself carried the fire and the knife. The two of them walked on together. Isaac to Abraham, father, Abraham, I am right here, son. Isaac, look, we have the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8, Abraham, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. The two of them continue to walk on together. When they finally arrived at the place God had showed him, Abraham took some stones and built, an altar there and arranged the wood carefully on top of it, then bound his son Isaac with rope and laid him on the altar on the top of the stacked wood. Just as Abraham reached over to grab the knife that would kill his son, the special messenger of the Eternal One called his name from heaven. Special messenger, Abraham, 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 I am right here. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to harm him. I know that you respect the one true God and will be loyal to him and follow his commands because you were willing to give up your son, your only son, to me. Very familiar story, probably one of the great famous stories of our Bible. And so let's look at it. Let's look at it from the perspective of this oral obedience that requires the sacrificial faith that causes you to operate in kingdom mission, mandates, and mantles. Let's talk about what we see new in this particular passage of Scripture. What is the Lord showing us for this time as we talk about this all of obedience, when we talk about making the sacrificial kind of faith, a faith that requires more of you, a faith that requires or faith that stretches you to this new dimension, that stretches you to this new place that God has purposed and ordained for your life. The Bible declared in Genesis 22 that there was after a period of time. And I want us to look at that period of time through this lens of maturation. The Bible said that after this period of time, after Abraham's maturation, God decided to put Abraham to the test. And I believe that there is a level of testing that comes as a result of the maturation that happens in our lives. And not only did the Lord test him, but I want us to see that the Lord trusted him. And so when we look at tests, I want us to look at it through the lens of trust. God clearly trusts Abraham with the task, with the sacrifice, with the ministry, with the mandate that he was putting in his life. And not only did God trust Abraham also trusts God. And we see it through the course of this story. We see it all the way down to verse number 5. Abraham did not declare that he was going to sacrifice. He declared that he was going to worship. He understood that sacrifice is a attribute or characteristic of worship. And I think that becomes very important when we see it through that lens, when we see it through the perspective of us understanding that when we are in that maturation place and the Lord requires a sacrifice, we need to see sacrifice as an act of worship. It's not just an act of obedience. It is an act, a sign of worship unto the Lord. And so Abraham in verse 5 began to declare to his servant, he said, "You stay here with the donkey." He said, "The boy and I will go over there." There is just a particular place that others cannot go. There is a place in worship that God desires to take you individually, that oftentimes you cannot take people with you. And so he said, "Me and the boy will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to meet you here." And I want us to embrace that there place, that place that we see afar off, that place that is at a distance. That is what the all of obedience is about. The all of obedience lead us to that there place, not that here place, that there place where God is going to release. God is going to do a new thing. God is going to release a preceding voice. He's going to release a preceding word out of our lives. When we look at the all of obedience through this lens of Genesis, it required an act of worship. It required this sacrificial faith. The Lord even gave an identity of what Abraham was possessed. And he said, "I know you love this." He said, "Sacrifice your son, your only son, Isaac." And so sacrificial faith is you yielding what you love to whom you love. And Abraham loved God more than he loved what God gave him. And I believe that that is a place that we have to get to individually. That is a place that we have to get to collectively, that we love God more. We love the giver more than the gift. We love the person whom we serve more than what he has served to us, what he has given us. And so he said, as we go, he says, we will go to a place. He said, "I will show you." That is what sacrificial faith is. It's going, not even knowing. It's going without seeing. I'm sorry, not knowing. It's a going without seeing. Abraham did not see the place, but he knew the place, and he knew he would know when he saw it. And so he began this journey. He began to go, and verse 8 declared that God will provide. He declared that God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. We know just from historically from this story, Isaac was not a young kid. he was well into adult size. We're not sure of his age completely, but we know that he was of adult size. He was and he was apparently strong enough to carry the wood. He was strong enough to carry. He said, I'm sorry, I lost it. Isaac, he put the offer, he set it on the shoulder of his son Isaac, the wood. So he was strong enough to carry the wood up towards this mountain. And Isaac also was yielded to the sacrificial faith. He was yielded. We often focus on Abraham, but let's look at Isaac. Let's look at Isaac, who is operating out of obedience to his father. Isaac did not get this word. Abraham got this word. And Abraham was very distinguished about what he shared and what he did share. And so we also see that there is a relationship between the son that trusted the father. And Isaac clearly knew that his daddy was not perfect, but he trusted the God whom his father served. And so as they both began to walk, they both began to go, there was this sacrificial faith that was both required upon Abraham, that was also required on Isaac. What comfort did Isaac get in the words that his father declared, or what nervousness he got? The father declared in verse 5, we were going to worship, and they were carrying the things. And then Isaac said, I see we have the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? This wasn't an unfamiliar place, an unfamiliar act, an unfamiliar place, but not an unfamiliar act. And oftentimes we keep looking for a familiar God. We keep looking for this familiar experience. We keep wanting to identify this comfort experience, and we have to move beyond the familiar. We have to move beyond the familiar and understand that we are serving a God that is about to amaze us. We are serving a God who wants to awaken something new, something powerful, something great in our lives. And Abraham began to declare to him, he said, there's coming a provision that you've not seen, son. There's coming a provision that you've not seen. And I believe we just need to embrace that. We need to embrace it prophetically. We need to embrace it personally. We need to embrace it publicly. There is coming a provision that we have not yet seen. Then verse 9 said, when they finally arrive at this place. You know, I think that this is, for me, this is the part that I had to embrace, because it was not a quick process. It was a journey. It was a journey that required participation. And oftentimes, you know, I know, at least with me, we wait for God to do it. We have an expectation that all the promises of God is fulfilled simply because God said it, and it is. But God also says things to us that brings about this plan. And so this journey that Abraham and Isaac was on, this constant ability to sacrifice, to leave friends, to leave the comfort of his home, to walk away and see it. It said when they finally arrived at the place God had shown him, it still did not look like what he was expecting. But yet Abraham continued to move forward. He bound up his son Isaac with the rope. He laid him on the altar on top of the stacked wood. And just as Abraham reached over to grab the knife that would kill his son, the special messenger of the Eternal One called his name, and he called his name from heaven. I think that that is so important to embrace as well. There comes a sound from heaven. There comes a distinct sound from heaven that our ears have to be attentive to. There comes a proceeding sound from heaven that leads us and directs us and takes us to God's original plan and purposes for his life. And Abraham said to him, he said, I am right here. And I think that that is so very powerful. Abraham could not have been over there. He could not have been at the bottom of the mountain. He could not have been where he left his friends. He had to be right there. And so I do pray that we will find ourselves at right there. We will find ourselves right where we are purposed, right where we are ordained, right where God has orchestrated for us to be, so that we can continue to move forward in what God has said. And then the special messenger gave him proceeding direction. He said, don't lay your hand on the boy or do anything to harm him. He says, I know now. Why? Because of this act of obedience, because of this sacrifice, because of this mandate, because of this mission. He says that you honor the one true God and will be loyal to him and follow his commands. Now, I read a couple of commentaries on here, and a couple of commentaries kind of indicate, if you read them, it almost indicates as if the faith of Abraham was reliance on the fact that he knew God's law. They say that Abraham knew that God would not require human sacrifice. But I don't want us to look at that from that. And I thought that was interesting that they would put it there, but I thought it was more important that Abraham's faith was required, not on God's law. We understand that God's law is his written word, but we know that Abraham's reliance is on his relationship. And we know now that the word of God is God, so we have a relationship with his word. But Abraham's reliance was on his relationship with God. It was on reliance not just on what God did, but who God is. He knew who God is. He knew that God will provide. He knew that God will continue to give him direction and instruction and give him that plan. And so his trust and his reliance was on God. But also God knew that Abraham would trust. Abraham would continue to move forward. Why? Because he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief when he was impotent. And when Sarah was past childbearing, but the scripture said he was fully persuaded if God said it, he would do it, God would bring it to pass. And that is what sacrificial faith does. That is what that oil of obedience does. It gives us that sacrificial faith that gives us this mandate to understand that our God is our God will, our God does. Amen. Amen. Now, you can jump in anytime if anyone has some additional comments, additional things that they saw in scripture that they would like to share. All right, let's look at Joshua 1. And let's look at verse 1 through 11 as we continue to look at the oil of obedience for sacrificial faith, kingdom mission, mandates, and mantles. Let's look at Joshua 1, verses 1 through 11, another one of my favorite declarations in the Bible. And it says, Moses served the Eternal One faithfully until the end of his days. After his death, the Eternal singled out Joshua, the son of Nun, who had walked at the right hand of Moses during the wilderness wanderings. Eternal One to Joshua, since my servant Moses is now dead, you and the Israelites must prepare to cross over the Jordan River to enter the land I have given you. I will give you every place you walk, wherever your feet touch, just as I promised Moses, from the southern desert to the northern mountains and Lebanon, from the great Euphrates River in the east, including all the land of the Hittites to the great Mediterranean Sea in the west, all of it is yours. Not one will be able to oppose you for as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses, and I will never fail or abandon you. Verse 6, so be strong and courageous, for you will lead this people as they inquire and then divide the land I promised to their ancestors. Verse 7, always be strong and courageous, and always live by all the law I gave to my servant Moses, neither turning from it even ever so slightly, so that you may succeed wherever you go. Let the words from the book of this law be always on your lips. Meditate on them day and night, so that you may be careful to live by all that is written in it. If you do this, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Never be afraid or discouraged, because I am your God, the Eternal One, and I will remain with you wherever you go. When Joshua had heard God's command, he gathered the leaders of the people of Israel and gave them their instructions. To all the leaders, go through the camp and tell your people, gather whatever you need, because in 3 days you will pass over the Jordan into the land the Eternal One, your God, has given you to possess it. Soon it will be yours. Amen. Another good scripture, right? Another good mouthful of what God is doing and what it requires for Joshua and Abraham, Joshua in this particular passage of scripture. And one thing I like about this scripture, when we look at it from this perspective, I think we've got the back end of Joshua's story. And so we almost bring this assumption to the table. And part of the assumption to the table is that Joshua, let me put it this way. For me, I looked at Joshua comparative to Moses. And so after you just kind of do some research on it, the words make sense. You know, Joshua had not signed up to be a commander. Joshua had not signed up to be a successor. When we look at scripture, you will almost think that it should be Aaron's job to lead the people into this promised land. Because when you look at the story, Moses requested Aaron because of his articulating skill, because of who his prestige and who he was. And so if we had to look at a successor, it would be as if Aaron was Moses' successor. Aaron had the skill set, the mindset. All Joshua was, you know, and I'm saying was with quotation, was someone who served Moses. And Moses kept giving him responsibility, but Moses never indicated that Joshua was his successor, that Joshua would be the one to fulfill the promise of God. It was God who chose Joshua. It was God who anointed Joshua, the son of Nun. It was God who released this mantle, this kingdom mission, this mandate upon Joshua. All Joshua was doing was serving Moses. That's all Joshua wanted to do. He was there for Moses, not for this entire nation, not for this new nation, because you understand that Joshua is part of the generation that survived the wilderness. And so now Joshua is given this new camp. He's given these new transformational leaders. He's given these new trailblazers. He is now given this responsibility to create. He's now given this responsibility to change the trajectory of a nation. And he could have went in with fear. He could have went in with comparison. He could have thought, is these people going to be like their mama and daddy? Are these sons going to be like the people who proceed forth him? But if you look at the scripture through that lens, God just kept giving Joshua comfort. That's what he was saying. Look, don't be afraid. He was saying, look, be strong and courageous. Moses is dead. And you have to understand who Moses was. So for this generation to come, they one lived off of the stories. They one lived off of I want to use the word hype. I can't think of another word, but they live off of this hype of Moses. Moses was the prophet who spoke, God spoke to face to face. Moses was the one who gave them their judicial system. He incorporated their laws. Moses was the one who had given them their lifestyle, had caused them to understand what was right and was wrong. Moses was the one who led them out there, led their ancestors out of this 400 years of slavery. Moses was the individual who God worked these powerful miracles through and had did so many wonderful, powerful things. And now you have Moses' servant. Joshua hadn't performed no great miracles. Joshua hadn't did any of these amazing and wonderful things. And so now God is calling this servant Moses. He's calling Moses' servant to be a leader. And it was a sacrifice for Joshua. Joshua was probably just fine with going in and spying out the land. And then you have to remember, Joshua had got a glimpse of this land. He knew the giants he would face. He knew the territory that he would face. He knew the reputation of the Hittites. He knew the reputation of the Amorites. He knew the reputation of all of these individuals that he was going. And then the Lord said to him, every place you walk, wherever your feet touch, just as I promised to Moses, because this was a promise given to Moses. This was a promise given to Moses, and now Joshua is reaping in that place. Joshua is reaping in that harvest. Look at verse 4. He said, from the southern desert to the northern mountains in Lebanon, from the great Euphrates River in the east, including all the land of the Hittites to the great Mediterranean Sea, and the west, all of it is yours. Look at verse 5. No one will be able to oppose you for as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses, and I will never fail or abandon you. That's such good work. That has to be such great comfort to the servant of Moses, who is now the commander of Israel, who is now in position to move the nation into the promise, who is now in position to carry the weight and the responsibility of this mantle and this mandate. Verse 6, he said, be strong and courageous, for you will lead this people as they acquire and then divide the land I promised to their ancestors. Verse 7, always be strong and courageous, and always live by all the law I gave to my servant Moses, never turning from it, even ever so slightly, so that you may succeed wherever you go. There is success in the kingdom. There is success in following the plans and the promises of God. There is success in operating in obedience and doing what it is that the Lord has promised and call you. There is a success that is waiting for the children of God. He says, if you do this, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always succeed. You know, I just declare that over our lives. I decree it over our season and over our trajectory, that as we keep the word of God on our lips and we keep the promises of God in our heart, as we meditate, you know that word meditate, you know that it means to rehearse, it means to say over and over, it means to come into relationship with it. As we meditate, as we rehearse day and night, as we live according to what is written about our life and our destiny and our purpose, no matter where you go in this world, you will always prosper and you will always succeed. Amen. I believe that for us. I believe that for you. I believe that for your destiny. I believe that for God's plan and promise for your life. And then look at verse 11. Verse 10 says, when Joshua had heard God's command, he gathered the leaders of the people of Israel and gave them their instructions. So you have to see that now here is Joshua coming out of the shadow and moving into the forefront. Now here is Joshua coming as the commander of God's army, being a testament of the miracles, but now about to move in the miracles. He's about to see God depart things for him. He's about to see some of the greatest miraculous things in his time, that this generation that he has done. And he stood boldly. He stood in this mandate simply out of obedience unto God, simply out of obedience to the word of God. Like Abraham moved on a word and followed God in worship, now we see Joshua moving on a word from God. He said, Joshua, you're the successor. Joshua, you're the predecessor. You're about the one who's going to lead the people into the land that I had promised them, the ancestors, and obtain all of the promise that you saw. And Joshua went in it. He went in it knowing the giants that he would face. He went in it knowing the battles that he would have to endure. He went in it knowing the things that he would have to possess and fight. But he went in it strong. He went in it courageous. He went in it through the oil of obedience. He did it through the oil of obedience. He knew that there was a sacrificial faith. There was a kingdom mission. There was a mandate. There was a mantle that was released over his life, and he was ready to obtain it. Amen. Anybody believe that?
Amen.
You know that there is a mandate
Amen.
That is released over your life, and you have to walk in it. No,
Amen.
It's not an option. Amen. No,
Amen.
It's not an option. You have to do what it is that God has decreed, that he has declared. You have to do it by faith. Have to clearly understand it and move in it. And that's what Joshua did. He did it by faith. He did it knowing what God had said and spoken and what God had written, and he was ready to walk in it. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody want to share something? I could keep going.
Well, Prophet, right. This is Overseer. And as you were sharing about Joshua, I was just reminded of our 2020 declaration, the crossover. So the one that you would have thought God had didn't, Aaron, instead someone without reputation received it, without reputation on earth, but he had reputation in the heart of God. And so God gave it to him. He crossed over what man would have thought and gave it to who he knew would honor his name. And he knew that because Joshua had been a faithful servant to the leader. You know, so you show yourself a leader when you show yourself a good servant to the leader that you have. And I believe that's part of what helped purify his heart so that he could just be obedient And so because of that, God gave him, not just like you say, he didn't know what he was going to face and the enemies, but what he did know, he had a confidence in what God had said. God said, I will do this. Your enemies will not be overrun you. They will not overtake you. And I think that's all of what he is speaking to laborers for Christ, because the thing that happened wasn't something that would happen normally. It wouldn't be what man would want, but it was what God wanted. And he's assuring us that he has given us some promises, and we can find those promises in the declarations that later came to the church. And so those are the things that are the comforting and the revelation and the encouraging part of the prophecy of what God said at the beginning of the year, and then what God did with Joshua, and the fact that when he went forth believing. He said, you believe the prophet, you will prosper. He believed the word of the Lord. When we believe the prophet, we prosper. And God gave us the desire of our heart, because it was a part of our hearts was desiring to honor him, just like Joshua was desiring to honor God, to please God, that for no matter what. He's not a person of, what do you call it, of royalty or of lineage or anything like that, but just a humble servant. And I think that's the perfect example of the manifestation of our 2020 declaration and decree from heaven. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Overseer. Anyone else? Amen.
Yes, Amen. Apostle said it's prospering time. Okay.
Amen. Go ahead. I'm sorry. It sounded like someone else was going to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I saw this in Joshua's being courageous. And, you know, as God said, you know, walk, be courageous. And this is the season of not walking in fear, going forth and being courageous. And, you know, sometimes we feel like people picking on us, but it ain't picking on it. You know where your season is, and you know that you got to walk in it, and you have to let go of that fear and just be courageous and be brave and go forth. And so I just thank God for what you're teaching us. So to God be the glory. And glad to be back on with you.
Amen. Good to hear your voice. Amen. All right. So that is our oil of obedience. Let's look. We have a few more minutes. So before we go, I do want
can
to
I have
a want to take
comment. Can I make a comment?
Yes, yes.
This evangelist, yes. Shannon, I'm just real grateful to be in here on tonight. And just, you know, coming in again, I heard this is the end of the month of September, and me moving in the oil of obedience, not even knowing that I was moving, that this is the topic, what was going on, you know, moving some things around in my schedule to make myself and avail myself to the Wednesday night teachings, you know, because the word is so rich and plentiful, you know, and how I was just missing out, you know, by not availing myself, by having this, this, and that to do, you know, and just moving in the spirit of obedience just in my time with God, you know, and just having that unction to, it's time to get on that Wednesday night call, you know, it's time to get into the spiritual enrichment, you know, class tonight. So I'm just real grateful that I was obedient to the Spirit, to Holy Spirit, you know, advising me to move, to get into this, you know, because God is doing some things, and I do know that it's an act of worship, you know, just moving forward in those things. That's all I have. But that was really good, Prophet. Thank you.
Amen. No, thank you. Thank you for that testament. You know what I mean? That's what it's about right there. Thank you for that testament. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the oil of hope
for long suffering, promise waiting, and prophecy fulfillment. We're going to look at Isaiah 40 and 31. I'm just even excited about what biblical hope means. Just looking at this definition, that hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. So hope, biblical hope, is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. And so I wanted us to put that in our spirit as we move forth. We also know that hope is often looked through the lens of faith. It is that assurance of what is hoped for. It is that conviction of things not seen. It is that confidence in what is to come. And I think that this is so important when we look at the oil of hope through this lens of this pandemic, through this lens of famine, even through this lens of the future trajectory, not knowing what our world is going to look like. But when we look at this biblical concept of hope, we have a confidence and an expectation of what God has promised. And so we can have a confidence to know that no matter what it is, according to the word of God, it will be good, or it will work for our good. Nothing God does, even as Overseer read it earlier, everything that God does is good. And then not only is it the expectation of what God has promised, it's his strength and his faithfulness. And so I have a strength. When we look at the oil of hope, when we talk about it for long suffering, promise waiting, and prophecy fulfillment. Number one, I understand that God is not a man. Stop. And because he's a man, the scripture said he cannot lie. And then secondly, if God said it, if God spoke it, he has to do it. He has to make good out of it. When it is released from the mouth of God, it does not come back void. It does not come back empty. It prosper in the things which God sent it to do. And when we talk about that word prosper, when we talk about the word that comes out void, it could be translated to what we know as a protective babysitter, or what we know to be a mama, a papa bear. God watches over his word. He protects his word. He sits on the promises of his word. He honors his word like he honors his name. And so when we talk about the oil of hope, we have this expectation of what God has said. We have it in the guidance of his faithfulness. And so I want to read Isaiah 40 and 31 is where we look at the lens of the oil of hope. And I'm going to read it out of the Passion Version. Then I'm also going to read it out of the Message Version. The Message just blows your mind. It says some things that I just think is so phenomenal. But Isaiah 40 out of the Message Version, and I'm going to start around verse 27 is where the Message where the Message begins that conversation. It says, "Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, 'God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me.' Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God laughs. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath, and he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts, but even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Just drop the mic. Amen.
Just drop the mic.
That is so good. That is so good. I'm going to read it one more time. All right. Isaiah 40:27-31 out of the Message Bible. We talk about the oil of hope. It says, why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God laughs. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath, and he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to drop out, for even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall, but those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Amen. Oh, that's so good.
I'm going to read out the Passion Version,
then I'll let you go. All right. So it says, the Passion Version says, why then, O Jacob tribes, would you ever complain? And my chosen Israel, why would you say, Yahweh isn't paying attention to my situation? He has lost all interest in what happens to me. Don't you know? Haven't you been listening? Yahweh is the one and only everlasting God, the creator of all you can see and imagine.
He
never gets weary or worn out. His intelligence is unlimited. He is never puzzled over what to do. He empowers the feeble and infuses the powerless with increasing strength. Even young people faint and get exhausted. Athletic ones may stumble and fall, but those who wait for Yahweh's grace will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their race without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up. Just drop the mic again. Amen. That's so good. That is the oil of hope. Amen. As we wait for prophecy fulfillment, as we go through our long suffering, promises, waiting, and prophecy fulfillment, we clearly understand that Yahweh is listening. His intelligence unlimited. He is everlasting. He is never lag or behind. And all we have to do is continue to wait in Yahweh's grace, and we will experience his divine strength. You will run this race without growing weary, and you will walk through life without giving up. Amen, 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 and amen. So we do have some exciting things for October. We are inviting and opening the door for individuals who are interested in doing some teaching on Wednesday, doing some creative ministry on Wednesdays. And so we will begin that the first Wednesday in October. If you are interested, please text the church line, 773-779-2900, 773-779-2900. protect interest and give apostle what your interest is. If you say, hey, I would like to do some teaching, I've been reading this good book, I'd like to start a book club or during this time, whatever it is, so that we can come together as a ministry and pray and put it on the calendar and proceed forth to see what God wants to do. Amen. Ladies of Christ, we train, prepare, and release. Train, prepare, and release. We grow and we go and we do what it is that the Lord has purposed and ordained for us. And so we want to begin to look towards the end of the year for these next 3 months. Begin to give others these opportunities. And so it is here. Amen. And you definitely want to do that while you can. And let Apostle know so that we can continue to move forth in the things that God has for us. Amen. Anything else, Apostle, Overseer, any announcements before we end in prayer?
No, I don't think so.
All righty. All right. Well, we are excited to see you on Sunday and to be a part of what God is going to do and that God is going to do on Sunday. Amen. We do decree and declare the oil of obedience over your life for sacrificial faith, kingdom mission, mandates, and mantles. We pray that you will move into the plans and the promises that God has for you, that according to the word of God, you will operate in God's strength and be courageous. We thank you that according to the word, all that God has promised you is yours, and nothing will defeat you. And we pray over you the oil of hope for long suffering, promises, promise waiting, and prophecy fulfillment. We decree and declare that you will understand that Yahweh is listening, that his ears are attentive to you, that he is your everlasting God. He is the creator of all things that you can imagine. He is not weary nor worn out. His intelligence is unlimited to you. He is not puzzled about what is going over in your life. And he is empowering you and infusing you and increasing you. He is giving you, he is giving you the strength and the grace to walk in your divine plan and purposes. We decree and declare that you will walk through life without giving up. You will run this race without growing weary. You will see the good land that God has spoken and promised to you and to your family. You will walk in that divine destiny, and you will receive all the promises that God has for you individually and collectively. We decree and declare that you won't complain nor whine. God has not lost track of you, and he cares about everything that happens to you. And when you're tired, he will energize you. He's giving you fresh strength so that you will not drop out. And as you wait, you will spread your wings like eagles. You will run and not get tired. You will walk and you will not lag behind. No more lagging behind, amen. No more delayed, no more misfiring, but you will bullseye and hit your prophetic target in this season. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. And there is one announcement. We will worship on the inside on this Sunday. Worship will be inside on this Sunday, October 4th. Amen. And good night.
Amen. Have a good night.
Good night.